Next, we're going to dive into the future of comics. Sean E. Williams gets the cool music today. He's here in the studio with me in Sioux Falls. He's a comic book creator, co-founder of Comicer. He is the New York Times best-selling writer of Ferris, The Return of the Maharaja for Vertigo, The Vampire Diaries, and Sensation Comics for DC Comics, Artful Daggers for Monkey Brain Comics, and IDW Publishing, and lots more. Sean E. Williams, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hey, Lori. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to go ahead and turn up Sean's microphone. Going to make our radio much better. Try again. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There we go. Here we are. Sean, Digital First Comics. Tell me what this business model is.
Yeah. So I've been working in comics for a few years. And right around the same time that I started getting into comics, my wife got a job in Minnesota. And so we had to move from LA to rural Minnesota. And it was a real kind of like eye-opener for me as far as the comic book industry goes, because in LA, you know, you have 10 amazing comic shops within, you know, 20 minutes of each other. And moving to rural Minnesota, where the closest comic shop is an hour and a half away, made me realize that, you know, that's a large portion of the country and, you know, if not the world. And, you know, with the proliferation of iPads and digital readers and stuff, you know, you can deliver a comic digitally to anyone and not have to rely on that comic book store in order to get it in front of them.
What's the impact for that for readers? The access to comics. What can that mean? And I'm being serious. It sounds like I'm making a joke, like access to comics is a fundamental right. But what does it mean for kids and adults who are interested in the form to have that kind of access?
I think it's great because, like, I mean, one of the limitations of comic shops is that there's only so much shelf space. And with the way that the comics distribution system is set up, it's really unique and really broken. So, like, comics are non-returnable generally. And so it's a huge gamble for a comic shop to buy an issue hoping that somebody's going to read it. And all that risk is taken away digitally because every copy is never out of print and every copy is available to every reader. So, you know, anything that you're looking for, you can find digitally.
So when we say a comic creator, are we talking about a writer, an artist, a publisher?
For me, I'm a writer and a publisher. You know, there are some creators out there who write and draw and publish everything on their own, you know, versus all the way down to just, you know, people who just letter or just color. You know, I consider them creators too. I'm writing a series right now for a publisher called Stila, and we actually, our colorist and our letterer are actually, you know, co-owners in the comic with us.
Huh. How did you get started with that, thinking it was something that you wanted to do and realizing that it was possible?
Comics?
Writing the comics, because I think most kids coming up are going to think that you have to be a visual artist.
You have to be able to do everything. Right. Yeah. For me, it was my background's in film and TV, and I went to undergrad at USC in film production and got into writing and producing there, and did that for about a decade, and then right around you know, towards the end of that, I met up with an executive who is also a comic book editor. And so he invited us to start pitching ideas to him for comics as well. And around that same time, a friend of mine, Bill Willingham, who created the comic book series Fables, I had an idea that took place in the Fables universe and pitched it to him. And he, you know, was gracious enough to let me to write it. And so between those two things, it was kind of like, okay, comics is a way to go. Yeah. So, you know, let's go with the flow instead of trying to fight it.
How do you sit down and write a comic? Do you see the images in your mind? Do you have to leave a certain amount of space for the artist to bring their own take on the characters and stuff? What's your role as a writer?
Well, that's really my approach to writing comics is I like to leave a lot of wiggle room for the artist to bring their own take on everything. I know there are writers out there who write every single little, you know, detail into every single panel. Yeah. For me, I generally just tend to focus on the action and what the characters are saying and doing and kind of leave the rest to to the artist, unless there's something very specific to the story that's going to pop up later that we need to make sure is included.
So you have to be a master of plot, dialogue, characterization. Those mm-hmm. are what I'm thinking would be the top three things you'd really have to be good at to be a good comic writer.
Yeah, yeah. It's really hard to not have all three of those and to be able to think visually, because it is, I mean, for me, comics, I've been saying this for a while, you know, comics are like the best visual storytelling medium because, you know, there's no budget. You don't have to worry. You could blow up the entire world and you don't have to worry about, you know, effects budgets or
right.
anything like that.
I see.
And then like the only thing comics doesn't do well is music. But there are creators out there who are putting out soundtracks, you know, every month along with their comic book. So even that's kind of,
really?
You know, yeah.
So that's an interesting future of comics. And then you're printing some too through a Kickstarter campaign so that people can actually have them.
Exactly.
What's the purpose of that if the digital is working so well?
Well, there's always something about having a book in your hands that you can't replicate digitally. So with our model at Comicer, we're digital first. And then we did a Kickstarter back in March to bring two of our series, Lost Angels by David Acampo and Chris Anderson, and The Casebook of Rabbit Black by Kate Sharon, to bring both of those to print as trade paperbacks. So with Casebook of Rabbit Black, it's the first two issues, but they're like 40-page issues each. And then with Lost Angels, it's the first five issues. And it's a full story arc. So both those are on a boat over from Korea right now and should be here in a couple of weeks. So
if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Sean E. Williams. He's a comic book creator, co-founder of Comicer. You'll be able to find him at, what's the website? SeanEWilliams.com. Sean is S-E-A-N.
Yes.
EWilliams.com. If you want to look while you listen, you can find some of his work online. Tell me how you find those ideas, because in the comic world, there's lots of stuff out there that's already been done.
Yeah.
How do you come up with original thoughts and go forward?
It's probably the most common
question, right?
Yeah, for us writers. For me, it's really just, I like riffing on other stuff. So like with the Fables thing, I had an idea based on kind of like a throwaway thing that never really played out. And so it's like, okay, well, why don't we explore this idea a little bit more? And that's generally like how I like to operate. You know, it's like, you know, it's a seed of an idea and then just exploring it, you know, whether it's my own that I have in the middle of the night or, you know, something I read in a book that it's like, oh, that's a cool angle on something and they're not doing anything with it. So why don't I try?
What's the comic book culture or comic culture in Minnesota and in the Midwest? What are you finding now that you've moved from LA to come to the Midwest?
Well, we've got a really vibrant creator culture in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the artists I worked with on our Arc of Ferrest, he actually lives up in the Twin Cities, Xander Cannon. He has a series right now called Kaiju Max that Oni is putting out, and it's phenomenal. It's about basically like it's a Godzilla prison movie that's drawn like a 6-year-old is drawing it. Like it's the most gorgeous, hilarious, just like mind trip of a comic book. But he's just one of many creators who live up there in the Twin Cities. It's actually a really good culture.
So how do you fuel that creative process? Collaboration, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't really work in comics if you're not a good collaborator.
Yeah. What else do you do to sort of stay creative and keep your mind open to, you know, fresh ways of looking at things?
Travel is really helpful for me. Like anytime I go on a trip or even, you know, driving over today, you know, to Sioux Falls, you know, it's like, oh, there's an idea, you know, let's write that down. So
you keep a notebook?
Yeah.
Like a writer's notebook? Tell me what it looks
like.
It's
on my phone, actually.
It's on your phone.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me what your phone writer notebook looks like.
I use Evernote for jotting stuff down.
I have downloaded Evernote and I have not cracked it. It's worthwhile.
It's good for certain things. Like I don't use it for everything. I have yet to find that like one app that's great for everything.
Yeah.
As far as doing like a first draft goes though, I swear by app called Scrivener.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes brainstorming, keeping track of all your ideas in one place like perfect, and you can rearrange stuff super easily and export to any format.
Diversity in comics is important to you.
Tell
me why and how it's manifesting in your work.
Well, with diversity, it's, you know, we live in a diverse world, and comics has been dominated by white male creators for so long that it's really kind of become stagnant. And, you know, both readers have been saying this and other creators have been saying this, and being a white male myself, kind of can see it for what it is, you know, and all the privilege that goes along with it. And so, using what little power I have to kind of, you know, change things, I feel like it's an obligation. And it's something that actually energizes me. It gives me a purpose, kind of. And it's a slow process. And I know a lot of people want it to move a lot faster, but publishing is a slow process. It takes years to get a single series out. And so, you know, it's going to be a while before things really change as much as we all want it to change. But, you know, kids who are reading comics now that have representational characters in them are going to be the creators, you know, 5-10 years down the line. And I think, you know, it's going to take that long to really see stuff. And we're already seeing stuff from, you know, just the changes that have taken place.
You have a lot of female creators and female characters.
Yeah, female characters and female creators. I actually prefer writing females versus males myself. So
how come?
I think part of it is this whole toxic masculinity culture that we have in America. You know, with women, you can really explore emotions a lot more easily and have it be believable. Whereas with men, you know, it's expected to be strong and, you know, barrel chested and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, that doesn't interest me at all.
You like the doors being open there.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Sean E. Williams. You can see more of him this afternoon at 2:30 at the Cali Branch Library in Sioux Falls. That's where he's going to be at, talking about comics. You can find his work online, SeanEWilliams.com. We'll put a link up after the show, sdpb.org/DakotaMidday. Sean, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me.
It was nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.